Hey, everybody. We're back.
Look at me, I'm Mr. Spaceman, out of control again. Stumbling over words again and finished before I even begin. When gravity fails and I'm falling down, glued to the ceiling, spinning around. Well, that's when I'm counting on you.
Oh my goodness. This is our first show back in the studio in a long time. We've got a whole new studio set up because it turns out that I'm very allergic to cats. Which I addressed by moving in with my girlfriend who has a cat. So there you go. You know, the bad thing about being allergic to a cat, besides being allergic to the cat, is that it makes you, like, very overly involved in the cat's life. Like, what is the cat doing and why is it doing what it does? Which is not a good way to live as a human man, I've discovered. Being overly concerned with a cat's day-to-day life is not rewarding. And in fact, it's very frustrating, I would say. You know, you're like, why does the cat go here? Why does it do this? Why does it do that? There's not good answers to those questions that are going to make you say, oh yeah, okay, well that's reasonable. It's a cat. It's not reasonable. It doesn't have reason. It has whiskers, okay? Let's put it that way. A cat has whiskers, and I'm told that these whiskers allow it to, you know, like, know what kind of space it could fit into. As a human man, what do I have that tells me whether or not I can fit into a space? Well, I kind of look at it, and then if I'm like, that seems to be cutting it close, then I stay outside. You know, if I'm looking at a tube on a play place, I don't have a physical need to go in there, and I say, I'm a human man, so I think I'll stay out here, but rather than risk that, I'll just go in there. Maybe I'll tie 8 cats together to make a human-sized form and see if they get through. That's an option, because they seem to have a better instinct for it. Welcome. I wanted to get on here today for sure and talk about a very important film that I saw. This is a film. Excuse me. This is a film that has some amazing action sequences. It's pulse pounding. You've probably been hearing about it quite a bit. It's got some great roles for women that are not traditional. It takes place in sort of a exploded world of hyperactivity. And the movie I'm referring to, of course, is Space Jam. I saw Space Jam for the first time. For those of you who don't know what Space Jam is, I will explain it to you. Space Jam is a movie based on the premise that Looney Tunes exist in a sort of parallel dimension to our own, accessed through a golf hole. I guess it's underground of ours, but not. And aliens come to put the Looney Tunes in a zoo. And in order to stop that, they play a game of basketball. Let me just go through this movie a little bit more detailed, because I think when you start talking about it, it's like, all right, it's a kids' movie, whatever. But I can't ignore the fact that this movie came out after Who Framed Roger Rabbit, which kind of did the whole cartoon real world thing. And I'm not accusing Space Jam of ripping off that idea. I'm wishing that they had ripped off more of their ideas and done a little better job, because they did a horrible job. So everyone remembers Space Jam for the R. Kelly song, I Believe I Can Fly, which I think plays for about 30 seconds of the entire movie. The movie starts off and we've got a little boy playing basketball in the night. And his dad comes out and he's wearing, like, I don't know exactly what these are called, but they're like the pants that Cholos wore. They're like khaki pants, but they're big and creased, and they wear suspenders. So this is what Cholos wore like in the 90s, and it's what I guess black dads wore in the 70s-ish. Michael Jackson, it's kid Michael Jackson and his dad. And, you know, his dad is like, oh, what are you doing out here? It's 2 a.m. And he's like, Dad, I'm going to play basketball and go to college. You know, and he's like, that's how I'm going to get to college, is by playing basketball. Which you're like, well, that's a sad commentary on American education. It's funny because you know that they're not trying to be like, isn't this sad that little black kids only get to go to college if they're good at basketball? No, this movie is like, he's really good at basketball. He's got a gift. And he knew from a young age that basketball was for him. But also, let's send a good message to the kids about going to college. Because why the fuck would Michael Jordan need to go to college other than to, you know, that seems to be the half step you have to take between high school and NBA, right? Is college. Other than that, though, what the hell does he need college for? Teach him how to be horrible in Hanes commercials? So he, then we get a montage. First montage of the first 10 minutes of the movie is, you know, the rise of his basketball career. Then we get a scene of he's in like a banquet hall announcing his retirement, and he's going to play baseball, right? And then you get like a second montage. You know, like the one is the montage of him on the rise, and then the second one is the montage of his, like, you know, peak. So you have like two separate montages. One of like, oh my God, this kid's going to be amazing someday, and look at him rise. And then another one of like, that was really some basketball career, huh? And we don't really see him playing basketball like at all. You see like 2 second clips, I guess, that they took from ESPN and shit. So now he's retired and he's playing baseball. Probably one of the better scenes in the movie. He goes up to bat, you know, and he sucks. And but the catcher is there, and the catcher's like, hey man, I'm a big fan. He's like, thank you. And he's like, did you sign some autographs for my kids or whatever? And he's like, oh yeah, after the game, for sure. And so then the catcher's like, thanks so much. And he's like, hey, this one coming, this is your pitch, fastball. And Michael Jordan's like, what? And he's like, don't worry about it. And like, he strikes out. And then the funny part is the whole crowd is there going like, hey, we still love you, Mike. You know, you're awesome. They're very supportive of him, you know, because he was good at basketball. They're very supportive of him being shitty at baseball. And that's fun. That's probably the most fun part of the movie. So now we switch to Looney Tunes. So we go to another planet that's a cartoon planet. Run by some slug-like creatures, including Danny DeVito as the boss. Here's the thing about this movie. The A-cast is horrible, because the A-cast is Looney Tunes, although I suspect that the voices are not the original voices, and basketball players. So it's like, who's the best actor amongst the A-cast? I don't know, Charles Barkley? Probably Muggsy Bogues, perhaps? He's compact and energetic. So you have all these players. Okay, so you go to the Slug World. It's animated. It's horrible. It's basically an amusement planet, like an amusement park planet. And Danny DeVito's in charge, and he's like, we need something new to attract people. You know, our visitors have gone down 25%. And they're like, well, what do you want, boss? For some reason, on every planet, too, the mob talks in the same sort of New York-y accent of like, yeah, we'll show these guys. So he's like, we need something new, something crazy, something loony, you know, and then they have Looney Tunes on TV. So then he's like, okay, go kidnap those guys and we'll make a zoo of Looney Tunes and have that be our newest attraction. Let's just keep track. I'm still talking about a movie that's ostensibly about basketball, sort of. Michael Jordan is starring in this movie, about cartoon characters being put in cages on a weird planet. Now, they go, and they go up to, like, Bugs Bunny or something, and they're like, hey, you're coming with us. And he's like, nah, bub, I don't think so. And then they're like, yes, you are. And he's like, why should I bother? And then they shoot, like, Daffy Duck with a laser, and he turns into dust. And then they're like, oh, okay, well, I guess we've got no choice. But they trick these little guys. The slugs that come to get them are these tiny little slugs, right? They're, like, ankle high. And they're like, well, according to our rules, you have to, like, give us a chance to defend ourselves. You know, and so the slug guys are like, all right, this is already the movie is retarded. Because they're like, here's how we're going to get out of this. We'll tell them that it's like Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where they get to play a game against death, right? And they win. We're going to do that, except we'll tell them it's basketball because they're real short. Meanwhile, ignoring the fact that they're like, well, why would they follow the rule of you have to play us in a game of basketball? They're following that rule. They're like, well, rules are rules. We have to do it. But they're kind of ignoring the larger rule of like, not really cool to like enslave an entire race of people. I'm just saying they're making weird decisions on which sort of rules of their morality is a little strange. But anyway, they're like, we're going to play basketball. And the Looney Tunes don't know how to play basketball, but they're like, fuck it. These guys are tiny. So then the little slug guys go around and capture several basketball players of the time, their basketball skill. And they do this, they, you know, pile up in a trench coat, that classic cartoon thing where you, and I just like to point out, there's not a lot of like cartoon action or madcap zaniness, right? Like you've got the Roadrunner, you've got the Coyote, but they're not fighting or anything, and Daffy Duck is just kind of a dick, but not really, and they're very boring, which is insane for Looney Tunes, right? Because you're like, well, if there's one thing they shouldn't be, it's boring. I think a half hour into this movie, I was like, does, like, Looney Tunes shit happen? I mean, is this... I thought, I was waiting patiently for, I was like, well, when we get to the big game, right? That's when it's going to turn into like a Harlem Globetrotters festival of craziness. Boy, was I disappointed. But we're not there yet, right? So the slug guys all pile up inside one trench coat, presumably to save money on tickets to attend these games. And they go to various basketball games and use a magic basketball or technological basketball or possibly a regular basketball that they've altered in some way as like a holding chamber for various basketball players' basketball skills. So they get like, you know, I don't know, Patrick Ewing or something, Sean Bradley, Muggsy Bogues, Charles Barkley, maybe some other people, maybe, who knows, fucking Karl Malone. Wilt Chamberlain's banging some lady. They take his power and become, you know, real good at sex. They take Scottie Pippen's power and get busted outside the arena with a gun in the glove box. They take everyone's powers. And they take Isaiah Thomas's powers and be one of the most underrated players in the NBA. They take everyone's powers and they turn into these giant monsters, these giant basketball monsters. And they also, you know, form jerseys for themselves that all are number zero for some reason. And they're the Monstars, which is all right. It's weird to me because I'm like, why would they know what a monster is if they're from another planet? And also, and there's so many weird things about this. Let's not even get into the minor. Cut to Michael Jordan. Now, here's the thing. Here's why it's so we discover it's much like Chekhov hiding the gun in the beginning of a play, right? Because you're like, ooh, that's going to come up later. Well, we made such a big fucking deal about Michael Jordan's retirement because that way he would be retired. So when the Looney Tunes were like, oh, shit, we need some help to beat these Monstars, they're like, well, we can get fucking Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan, the Monstars didn't know about because he's retired. You're like, it's all coming together. I don't think you had to tell me 8 times how he was retired and show me how he was retired 8 times. You could have just probably explained from the beginning that he was retired. And also, I don't really need a little thing at the beginning where he's with his dad and it's like, I'm going to be good at basketball someday. Because it's like, no fucking shit. Do we really need that? Do we need to, like, oh yeah, well, it's important that the audience knows that Michael Jordan's been interested in basketball since he was a youth. I think we're aware of his abilities. I don't think anyone's like, I don't know about this Jordan. Who's this Jordan they're all excited about? Is he any good? Is he good at basketball? So they get the Looney Tunes come into our world. So Michael Jordan's playing golf. His assistant is Newman from Seinfeld, Wayne Knight, who's pretty good. He's probably the best part of the movie, excepting Bill Murray, who is also co-stars. And they're playing with Larry Bird. So Bill Murray's playing with Larry Bird. Michael Jordan sort of playing with Newman, out golfing. So Bill Murray is great. He's dressed in crazy-ass golf clothes, and the best shot in the entire movie, Bill Murray hits a ball, and he's wearing like some kind of Hawaiian button-up shirt, right? And the bottom, so it buttons up in the middle, and the little tail in the middle at the front flips up when he hits the golf ball, so you see his like chubby tummy, and it just hangs there for like a good five count. And the shot, after he hits the ball, this thing flaps up, and then the camera just holds on him until it, like, slowly flaps down after a good five count of just sitting there, and you're wondering, is this ever going to go down? And, you know, a lesser man would have been like, cut that out. You know, let's redo that where this doesn't show my tum-tum. But no, they left it in, and it was one of the finer moments in the movie. You know, presumably or possibly just because it's like, hey, you know what? I like seeing a little movie magic happen. Something they didn't intend. I doubt that was in the script, but there it happened. Michael Jordan gets pulled into Looney Tunes world. He sticks his hand to get his golf ball out of a hole, and he gets yanked into Looney Tunes land. And that leaves Wayne Knight, Larry Bird, and Bill Murray, and Bill Murray's like, ah, fuck it, he'll figure it out, and they go on to the next hole. He just got sucked into the ground mysteriously, disappeared into a hole that's much smaller than his body, and Bill Murray is like, yeah, he's fine, he's a grown-up, he'll take care of himself. No curiousness. Wayne Knight begins trying to dig down. Okay, so they pull him into Looney Tunes land. Now, the way you get into Looney Tunes land, you go down through this giant hole and through a sort of rubberized, semi-permeable barrier that's designed to look like the Warner Brothers logo. Just in case you weren't aware that the Looney Tunes are a Warner Brothers property, they make extra sure to remind you. And at one point, Daffy Duck actually is like, yeah, and we're made by Warner Brothers. And he bends over and kisses his own butt on which is stamped a Warner Brothers logo. So they pull Michael in, they explain the situation, they're like, we really need you to play basketball, and he's like, guys, sorry, I'm retired. And you know, they're still like, well, can you help us, please, can't you just play? And he's like, I'm retired. Now, this is the biggest flaw in the movie to my eyes, right? In the movie, they could have made some kind of fictional world where maybe Michael Jordan had an injury or something, and so he retired from basketball. But no, they did it like the real world where he retired from basketball and fucked around with baseball for a while. And also, he retired. He was okay. Like, he wasn't in bad shape or anything. He got out before he was destroyed, which is a great choice, and I totally support that. However, he's got an entire race of Looney Tunes. Now, people in the regular world are familiar with Looney Tunes. What was never clear to me in the movie was when Michael Jordan goes to Looney Tunes world and everything's a cartoon except for him. And he's talking to cartoons, which was probably a really great way to have an inexperienced actor on complete green screen and in an era when green screen was not the norm. Only him and Bob Hoskins ever pulled it off. They have him there and the Looney Tunes are like, it's not clear to me whether it's weird to Michael Jordan that he's in Looney Tunes world or if like the world of Earth is thinking Looney Tunes world is real. It seemed like his kids were surprised when the Looney Tunes like appeared out of the TV or whatever. But Michael's not surprised. He's just like, what are you guys doing bringing me here? So anyway, they're asking him to play this. They're like, can you play this basketball game? Because if you do, that will prevent our entire race from being enslaved. Which, not to get all Django Unchained and shit, but it does... Is it just me, or is there like a racial implication here that's just kind of glossed over? They even show a part where, at some point, Michael Jordan makes a gambit of like, I'll stay if we lose. He makes like an extra side bet with Danny DeVito, right? And Danny DeVito's like, I'll have you chained up to a desk signing autographs. He's literally got shackles on, keeping him there, signing autographs. And you're like, as a human man, let's not even get into the racial part just yet. As a human man, in a race of people is like, you could keep our entire race from being enslaved. We are clearly in the right here. You could prevent that by playing one game of basketball, and you're a professional basketball player. Would you try? Don't you think you should try? How do you say no? What kind of cruel asshole is like, sorry guys, I'm retired. And they're like, yeah, no fucking shit. We're asking you to play another game. Unretire for an afternoon. This isn't going to hardly take you any time. Come on, don't be a dick. This would be like if, you know, I retired from podcasting and someone was like, listen, we're a weird race, but ultimately good-hearted and fun. We're going to be enslaved. Could you, if you record one show, it doesn't matter the medium, you know, it doesn't matter if you win or not, or if you do a good job. You just need to record one show. Would you do that to save our entire race? And I was like, sorry, guys, I'm retired. So fuck off. Really? That's all the concern that you have. What's going on? So anyway, he tells them fuck off, but then the Monstars like insult him. They're like, what are you afraid? And it's like a real Back to the Future, what are you chicken kind of moment. Which they should have laid into the movie. That would have made a lot more sense, right? If it was his pride. You could have had that early scene where he's with his dad and he's like, oh, well, I know you're scared about college. He's like, I'm not scared of anything, you know. Some shit. So then they train, and they play this big game. Now, here's the main problem with this movie is it's not, like, super fun. Like, not a lot of antics and craziness. Also, you just start to think, like, okay, so when they're in the Looney Tunes world, by the way, you see, like, Newman get smashed. Flat and then inflated to be round and all this stuff. There's also a pretty great part in the... Here's the best parts of the game, the big game. They just basically play basketball. And you're like, well, that's Elmer Fudd wearing a sweatband and dunking, so that's something. Here are the big highlights. There's a part where there are two uninjured players left on the bench. Newman and a tiny, tiny cartoon mouse. And Bugs Bunny, as team captain, is like, I'll take the mouse. And Newman is like, what the fuck? Like, seriously, what the fuck? It feels like not only is Newman in the movie and he's, like, insulted as he would be as the character, it almost feels like Newman was there as an actor and they just said, okay, we're going to choose between you and the mouse and action. And then they choose the mouse and he's like, this is a little far even for me. This is kind of insulting. I know it's a joke, but I'm insulted by this. The other great moment is Bill Murray shows up and he plays for like 1 point and then he leaves immediately because he's like, no, I'm going to go out on top. But the best part is he comes in and the evil Danny DeVito is sitting on this, basketball watching throne. And Bill Murray comes in and he goes, huh, how did they get Dan Aykroyd to play on their team? It was the best joke of the whole thing. Not only was it great because you know, is just fucking funny. But also to think that, like, there was a time when Dan Aykroyd was more famous than Bill Murray. And I guess this was it. Like, there was a time when Bill Murray wasn't doing a lot of shit. Certainly not a lot of shit that kids would know about. And can you imagine that today? Like, if someone mistaking Bill Murray for Dan Aykroyd, that would never fucking happen. That would be craziness. By the way, I heard an announcement that I don't know if it's true or not. It was like a vague announcement by the director, writer, or producer, or whatever, of the new Ghostbusters, the Lady Ghostbusters. And supposedly Chris Hemsworth is going to be the Janine of the movie, the secretary, Annie Potts. It's different. I don't know. You know, I guess it, I don't know what they're going for with the movie. If they're going for basically making the same movie but with ladies, then it's a horrible choice, because Chris Hemsworth is not the Annie Potts of dudes. But it, whatever. If they're not, then I don't know. Whatever. Do you guys, are you going to go see new Ghostbusters? I don't know how I feel about it. Well, I know how I feel about it is I don't really care and I'm not super convinced. I mean, like, Jurassic World doesn't look great, and that's just kind of a rehash of the same fucking thing, right? But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'll see that either. There's just, like, so many other movies that I haven't seen, and it prevents me from seeing movies, right? Like, I go see, I hadn't seen Space Jam, so I watch that, and I still haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy. And so then, like, if I was going to go see Jurassic World, I'd be like, well, if I'm going to spend this time watching fucking Jurassic World, why don't I just watch Guardians of the Galaxy? Like, I do want to see that. And it's got the same fucking guy in it. But then what I do is not watch Guardians of the Galaxy either, and then I've just watched nothing. So then I've never seen a movie. Like, whenever someone's like, have you seen this movie? I'm like, I don't even know which movie you're going to talk about, but no. I definitely haven't. Anyway. The horrible ending of Space Jam is that, you know, they need to do some crazy shit and score points in the last second. And all of a sudden, Michael Jordan discovers, wait a minute, when I'm in Looney Tunes world, can I do Looney Tunes shit? And the Looney Tunes are like, of course, Michael. And so then he stretches his arms way out and dunks from like half court. Boing. Which is a horrible ending to this movie, and I'll tell you why. If real people can do Looney Tunes shit, what do you need the Looney Tunes for? Or what do you need the real people for? Like, what's the difference? That was the whole point of Roger Rabbit, right? Like, a toon can do whatever they want. You know, they can smash themselves with a mallet and they're fine or whatever. Like, nothing kills them except the dip, which melts that poor little shoe. That shoe, that's the worst part of that fucking movie, watching that innocent little shoe with the squeak die. I hate that. Nothing kills them in the movie, and regular people can be killed. Now in Space Jam, when you're in the toon world, you go by the toon rules, and in the real world, unclear, uncertain, seems like you can still use magic powers and stuff. So if you're a toon, you're always a toon. If you're a dude, you're a dude in the regular world, and then a toon in the toon world. So this entire fucking time, Jordan could have been extending his arms and, like, extending his legs to be tall, and he could have been, like, blowing stuff up with dynamite and all this shit, which is also dumb, because he already fucking knew that. He'd already been, like, you know, KO'd and stuff like that, all that shit. He had already been doing cartoon stuff, and then he goes, wait a minute, I can do cartoon. No fucking shit. No shit. Jesus Christ. Have you not been paying? I wasn't paying a lot of attention to the movie. He was paying none attention to the movie. He's in it. He should pay some attention, right, to the movie that he's in, that he's inside of the movie. But he couldn't be bothered. That was asking too much of Jordan. It was, Space Jam was not for him. So what do I give Space Jam on a scale of 1 to 10? I don't even know. I mean, I probably would have liked it as a kid just because it's your basic, movie where stuff happens and then it's over. But as an adult, I was disappointed because I thought, like, where's the Looney Tunes jokes? Like, there wasn't any Looney Tunes stuff going on. Why isn't Yosemite Sam just, like, shooting the bad guys on the basketball court? Or, like, using his guns as, like, jetpacks and shooting himself up so he can dunk? Why isn't Bugs Bunny, like, digging under the court, you know, to get around a bad guy basketball player? Why isn't, like, one of the bad guys just slapping the shit out of Daffy Duck so his beak spins around? Or his bill? Why aren't these things... Where was Speedy Gonzalez? Jesus Christ, if there was a Looney Tune you wanted on your basketball team, how about the guy who's, like, supersonic jet speed? That seems like a pretty good one. You know what's too bad about Speedy Gonzalez, among other things? He's, like, a positive stereotype of Mexico. You know, he's, like, he's fat. He's a superhero, basically. I guess he's dressed in traditional Mexican garb. But other than that, I don't know, he seems all right. And they could have got away with it if it wasn't for old Slowpoke Rodriguez. I was so sleepy. If you ever watch, like, an old Speedy Gonzalez cartoon, I was watching one the other day, and basically the premise is, like, Speedy, it's like Speedy's birthday party, and he's going home, and then these other mice are drunk and stumbling home, because they're, like, these idiot mice in Mexico, and he keeps saving them from a cat, you know, who's like, well, I'm gonna eat them when they're all fucking drunk. So they're drunk, lazy mice. So... They blew it on the side characters with that one. I'll tell you that right now. They could have been looking back right now and say, hey, okay, we gave him a sombrero, but other than that, he's like a good dude. He says, andale, andale. He speaks a little Spanish. That's something, right? I guess he's got that accent. And probably, I'm sure a white guy did his voice, right? There's no Mexican guy doing that. But I don't know. They blew it with Speedy, I'll tell you. Thank God they didn't. He's also, like, the only one that I can remember who's, like, a definitive race. I guess Foghorn Leghorn is Southern, but he's not necessarily white, right? Although, I mean, he sounds like a fucking Kentucky colonel. Jesus. I'll say. He was in there. He didn't do shit. Porky Pig didn't do anything except be fucking annoying. By the way, Porky Pig stuttering, there's something about it, like, when you're a kid that you just listen to it and you're like... That's his character trait. And then as an adult, you're like, no, this is really annoying. Like, I want to finish his sentences for him so he can move on. Okay. Have you guys ever been around someone a lot who has a really bad stutter? This person I know who has a horrible stutter. And God, it's, like, so hard not to finish his stuff for him. But also, the things he's saying are never important or things that I want to hear. So that might contribute it, too. It's not like I'm more victimized by this person talking to me than I am participating. So that's probably a big part of it. I'm like, yeah, I don't really need to hear anything he's saying ever. Okay, I just wanted to get that in there to make sure I was mean to people who have a disability. Thank you guys for listening. Cutting a little short today. We're getting this in last minute, and I'm going to be gone for the weekend. An annual rafting trip. So, presuming I live through that. Which, you know, I'm pretty neutral on. Whether or not that's important. We'll see you next week. Take it easy. Have a good one.
I know I'm asking for too much, and I know I'm always saying stuff, and I mess up so much stuff, and sticking with the food is tough, but baby, I'm saying please.